This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a special guest in the house. Well, he's not in the house, but he's with us today, Mr. Ralph Reard. Hey, Ralph, how's it going?
I'm great, Joni. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. So just going to give you a brief bio on Ralph. So Ralph is a University of Richmond graduate. Ralph became a double spider graduating from University of Richmond Robbins School of Business with a master's degree in business administration. Ralph is the owner of Real Property Management Richmond Metro Office, has been successful since its inception. The first 7 years of operations, Real Property Management Richmond Metro was ranked in the top 10% for organic growth and earned gold status in the President's Cup Circle, an award given to less than 5% of franchise stores. In 2019, Ralph's management firm, Real Property Management Metro, was named the Franchise of the Year. They beat out 335 other stores and were recognized by their peers as the best-run real property management office in the country. In 2020, RPM Richmond Metro was named the Inc. 5000 list, a national list of the fastest-growing private companies in America. His firm ranked number 2,514. From 2012 to 2021, Ralph has grown his portfolio from 9 doors to a total of 286 units, 55 single-family homes, and 231 apartment units. In 2021, he opened a new property management company in Stanton, Virginia, and added another 25,000 square feet of office space. Current assets under ownership are valued north of $50 million, and monthly rental income is now over $300,000. He is proud to say that 15 years later, door number one is still in a portfolio and still cash flowing positive. Wow, Ralph, that's pretty impressive there. So we actually got to know Ralph. Obviously, we're franchise owners together, but we've bounced our ideas off each other, very like-minded into investing in real estate, obviously. So Ralph, I kind of wanted you to give more of a background on yourself and how you got started into real estate investing.
Yeah, I appreciate the intro, Joni. And again, glad to be on here. I opened the RPM office, Real Property Management, in 2014. I had a couple rental properties already. I think I had 9 units when I jumped in. So I kind of thought I knew what I was doing. And like a lot of entrepreneurs, I thought, man, I could probably do this better than other folks in the market, and jumped in and partnered with Real Property Management. It's been a great ride ever since.
Awesome. So what did you do? Because I know, just knowing you, you had a kind of successful run as a golfer as well, right? Is that?
That's right. Yeah. I would say mildly successful. I played golf my whole life. We're just coming off Masters weekend. It was a great time with friends and family watching the tournament, but played all through high school and tried to walk on at the University of Richmond, and they said, you're really not that good. So thanks for coming out, but you didn't make the team. And I kind of got into it again after college, worked as an assistant pro and then a head pro and general manager, and found I really enjoyed the business side of the golf world more than, you know, giving lessons and clinics and things like that. So I always played competitively, traveled a little bit, never made any money doing it, and really was more passionate about business. And that's what led me to go back to get my MBA and launch a real estate career.
Yeah. So throughout your bio, a lot that's reemphasizes your growth, you know, and you've grown. You obviously beat us through to get to franchise of the year.
And Sean always reminds me of that. I'm like, man, stop reminding me. But Ralph is the bomb. Come on.
But all that growth that you've had, I mean, really, what do you contribute the most? You know, like, what do you, looking back, is it, and there's probably multiple things you did, but can you name a few that you've done to really help your business grow? And how did you manage that growth?
So I kind of made the decision early on that there were a lot of smarter people out there than myself. I knew that I had just a tiny bit of knowledge about real estate, and if I could partner with people that had done it before or were a little smarter or stronger, you know, in one aspect or another, that I could, you know, use my expertise on the operations and management side and put a lot of deals together. So really, from the jump, my first investment was a joint venture where I had, I think, 72% of a deal and had another partner that took 28%. But that gave me enough confidence to go ahead and pull the trigger and jump in. And we bought an 8-unit building together. And I wouldn't have done that if I hadn't, you know, taking on somebody else or sharing that risk, and then also, you know, in the upside and reward. So I found it's been really rewarding and created a lot of great relationships by, you know, partnering with folks that are smarter than me or had, you know, some kind of skill set that I didn't have.
Yeah. Do you feel, you know, because you've had a lot of experience in single family, both managing it, owning, and then also multifamily. And I think from what I know of you, the bulk of what you're doing today is all multifamily and syndications, which we'll get into. But can you speak to the difference of both, you know, what pros and cons for single family versus multifamily? What's your take on it?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I love buying single family rentals. Some of the best deals and best return on a percentage basis I've ever done has come from just small single family deals. And, you know, I am doing more multifamily stuff, kind of 12 to 40 units is our sweet spot. But I've kind of created systems and processes where I can continue to invest in single family, and just not take up as much of my time. So I really like the flexibility of it. And just as you guys know, the appreciation the last few years has been really the icing on the cake. So we've done some strategic refis over the last 2 years to pull cash out of properties and reinvest both in single family and multifamily. And I'm actually under contract now on a portfolio deal down in Georgia. Was down there last week checking it out, but it was all single family rentals.
Really cool.
Yeah. Do you feel that people can skip
single family to go straight into multifamily?
Yeah, you can. I mean, I would do both. I mean, if you can, just to learn and figure it out. I mean, you've got to diversify your asset classes, and, you know, single family is just so flexible. I mean, you've got, you know, I've had times where the tenant wants to buy the house directly from you, and, you know, it makes sense, so you can get out of it that way. Whereas multifamily, you're kind of tied in with other partners in a longer hold. So you lose a little bit of that flexibility, but they're both, you know, great asset classes, and, you know, still a lot of wind at our back with the macroeconomic trends and rent growth and, you know, household formation, supply and demand, things like that.
Yeah. Very cool. Let's talk a little bit about syndications. I know you have a syndication conference coming up, but before I want to ask you tell us about your first syndication deal, but take it back a little bit, because I think we have some new listeners, and tell us the basics of syndication. What is a syndication? And then talk a little bit about your first syndication.
Yep, absolutely. We were just at a NARPM conference down in Texas a couple weeks ago, and around the room there were 700 property managers, and I think nobody in third grade said, when I grew up, I'm a property manager.
Right.
Just like, you know, when I started out in real estate, I didn't know I was going to be a syndicator. I just kind of stepped into it, you know, took one opportunity and one deal at a time. And, you know, 5 years later, it's been a big part of our success story. But, you know, the difference, just to define the terms between a joint venture and a syndication, usually with a JV, it's kind of friends and family. Everybody shares ownership equally. You know, if it's a $200,000 deal, you need $200,000 down. Four partners bring 50 to the table. Everybody gets 25% of that. Pretty simple. And we see a lot of that in our business, working with owners on the property management side, a lot of friends and family that have pooled capital to buy assets. With syndication, it's a little more complex. You're paying some additional fees for the expertise of the deal sponsor. In return, you're getting a smaller piece of the pie. But it really is a passive investment, right? With a joint venture, all four partners are going to deal with, you know, the property manager. They're going to deal with the tax issues. In a syndication, you've got the general partner or the sponsor, and then the limited partners, where it's really just a passive investment. They're just along for the preferred return, and then any upside and appreciation or all the other benefits of owning real estate. So again, like I said, that's been a big part of my growth. That's kind of the difference between the two. Your question was, how did I get started? Mm-hmm. It was really just by watching clients and others. As a property manager, we had a lot of opportunity to watch investors both do, you know, buy, renovate, refinance, repeat, you know, burr strategy.
Yeah.
I said, man, this looks cool. I did some of those. I saw some investors that were, you know, doing joint ventures and pooling capital with friends. And then I saw, you know, a syndicator and how they put a deal together. And I said, listen, guys, I'm, you know, I don't know enough about this just yet, but I know it's a good property and I know it's under market on rent. And I know there's a lot of upside here. I'd love to be your property manager, and I'd love to put some equity in the deal. So I invested as a limited partner and kind of watched them take off. It was a group called James River Housing Partners. And that was on a 17 unit deal. And now we've got over 300 units together. So it was just by jumping in and saying, hey, how can I help here? It was their first deal. They were looking for an expert to help raise the capital and manage the asset. And I helped, you know, kind of fill both of those gaps. So, again, it was a mixed use building, 17 apartments, one commercial space in downtown Richmond, about a $3 million property. And we still own it today. And hopefully it's worth a little more than that. It's been about five.
That's pretty cool. The story you told at NARP, and I love that story of the investor that came to you. And you, I think you went home to think about it. You're like, man, like, why am I not doing this? You mind sharing that again with our listeners?
Yeah, happy to do it. So as a property manager, like I said, I watched all these different investors have different strategies. And there was a client of ours who had a 20 unit property, and it was just class C minus, really 50% occupancy, really, you know, worn down units, hadn't been renovated since the 70s. And he went in with our help, right? We hired the contractors and oversaw the construction, and unit by unit over about 12 months, we turned all the units, did a hard turn, and got just up to about 95% occupancy. And the next day I get a call that says, hey, we're under contract to sell this property. And I was about to pull my hair out. We were 2 months with low occupancy and low rents and low fees. And really, I mean, we broke even at best and kind of managed this whole rehab for free. And this guy had a $1 million exit. So he sold it for $1 million over what he had put into it. And I said, man, that's amazing. I'm not making enough money on the fee side of this business. It seems like the equity players are really getting all the cheese and bacon, if you will, on top of that baked potato. It's all the good stuff comes from owning the real estate, not just, you know, if you've got a fee-based business, whether you're a broker or a property manager, you've got kind of one, you know, there's a lot of different, you know, revenue streams that come in there, but it's really one relationship, right? You're the big A agent for that client. And that's where you make your money rather than, you know, owning the asset and getting all those benefits.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah.
So going back to syndications. So just to clarify, if you're just a silent partner, really you don't have much say in the transaction, correct? Or like the sponsor puts it together and you're just, is that correct?
Correct. That's, you're giving up control and you're getting a hands-off investment, right? You guys own real estate, you've done your own rehabs, you've managed your own tenants in the past and dealt with all the issues that come up with that. And I think the more in the weeds you are in the day-to-day ownership management of your investment property, the higher the returns are going to be. You're getting a trade-off by having an expert, the sponsor who's hiring the property manager. Your returns are going to be a little bit less, but again, you've got their knowledge and historical track record, and you don't have to get your hands dirty. So you're giving up that control. Usually the general partners will define the hold time. 5 to 7 years is typical. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's up to them when it's the right time to refinance or sell or exit the investment.
Yeah. The it's in that respect, too, is you as the sponsor, putting the deal together and stuff, do you find that do you structure your syndications where you always have money in the deal? Do you try to, you know, you found it, you sourced it, you put it together, just equity for your time and energy? What's your take on that?
You know, it's, I've seen it structured both ways. I think a lot of heavy value add folks will try to capture some equity for finding it and putting it together. Personally, I've found we get a better response from investors when we invest alongside with them. Mm-hmm. So deal, I'm typically putting in 20% of the capital. Myself and Ali, who's usually my co-GP, we'll put in 20%. We will get some fees that recoup some of that. But they, you know, folks want to know you have skin in the game and you're not just in it to get a management fee or, you know, a fee on the front end. We want them to know and feel confident that, you know, hey, this investor is putting in 20%. Actually, this latest deal I'm sponsoring, I'm putting in 50%. I just kind of believe in the property so much and the deal that I really didn't want to share any of it, but the bank got a little stingy with the proceeds. So I did raise a little bit of capital for that, but it just depends on each deal. So anywhere, you know, at a minimum, I would say 5%, and normally 20 is about what we do.
Cool. What are some takeaways or maybe some lessons learned while doing syndications?
Yeah, I would say I'm one of the most on the debt side of the business, and that's due to my partner, Ali, who comes from a debt underwriting background. But when you go to get a loan for just a one-off single family, it's pretty simple, right? You're looking at the interest rate, the amortization, the term. When you get into a commercial loan with these larger syndications, you know, recourse becomes a big issue. Mm-hmm. Prepayment penalties can really make or break a deal. You know, we've had some clients that have tried to exit their investments, but they've got a $1 million prepayment penalty that they didn't really realize until yeah. You're eight. So, you know, they say, man, prices have run up, we want to sell. And they go, oh, well, you know, the buyer doesn't want to pay that $1 million prepayment. So just structuring the right debt is so important. And we've usually anywhere between, you know, 5 to 10 debt quotes. Ali is excellent at, you know, reading the fine print and negotiating each one of those terms to make sure that, you know, it takes a little bit of the pressure off the operations, right? Mm-hmm. If you're modeling out this, you know, 8 to 10% return and you've got a bad loan, it's so hard on your property manager. And we've got a client that has a large property just south of Richmond, and they're fighting a bad loan. And, you know, every month it's like, well, why is there no cash flow? We've had this for 4 years. And I'm saying, well, I'm not the one that signed up for the loan.
Right.
That
right.
has, you know, all the flood insurance and other stuff, mm-hmm. you know, requiring, which I would have negotiated out or pushed back on. So same situation, they're stuck in that loan for another 3 years, and it's really just, you know, cut into their cash flow.
Yeah, we have a couple of those right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And it's always put so much pressure, and then
it puts a bad taste in their mouth too, and then they don't invest again, right?
Yeah, it's not our fault that, you know, they signed up for that.
Right.
It's not like anything we did, mm-hmm. you know, it's just
right.
just
yeah. They're looking at you for not performing, Sean, right?
Right.
Yeah. I'm like But then, I mean, it's you go back and you look at it and you go through the, you know, statements and the cash flow reports and all that. And it's like, well, we've been improving like every month, and it's just getting better and better. And you just feel like it's getting worse and worse. But it's, I mean, if you really look at it, it's because of their debt and the way it's all structured that, you know, they just don't have no money at the end of the month. So,
yeah.
But the, yeah. So can you, as far as when you're structuring, I know Ali does a lot of that for you. How much of that is just shopping against different lenders or going back and negotiating? How negotiable are lenders on syndication deals?
I mean, it's really, there's so many different options in these commercial loans. So whether you're going with the local credit union or a Fannie or Freddie product, you know, each property in the business plan will kind of dictate what type of debt you want to place on there. And the, yeah, how long are we holding this? Do we need the flexibility? So our last couple deals we've placed with the local credit union, and you know, they're a little more flexible when it comes to rates. So yeah, it's always, we kind of fast track two or three that we like, and you know, go along to the 11th hour, and then we'll settle on one. Because we have had, you know, I've had loans get cut at the last minute. I had a lender, one of my first deals, you know, said, all right, your loan's going to be $1.3 million. And the last minute they said, nah, your debt service isn't quite there. We're only going to loan, $1,250,000. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'd already raised 500,000 of equity, and now it's the day before closing. I need another 50,000. And mm-hmm. so how do you plan ahead for things like that? And these are the, you know, kind of stuff you learn as you go. But that one, we were lucky. I went back to my five partners. I said, hey, everybody's got to kick in another 10,000 to keep, you know, your equity the same. And that's not a fun conversation to have. So it's good to have a couple lenders on board. And if that had happened to me today, I probably would have gone back to the seller and said, listen, we need another 3-week extension here. Our lender kind of dropped the ball, and then I'm going to shop that and find somebody else. Cause it was kind of, you know, it handcuffed us a little bit, and that's something they should have known.
Yeah.
Weeks ahead. So.
Very cool.
I just had a question. You know, with all these years of experience of buying and selling at different levels, whether it be single family or multifamily, can you share just some of, because I think a lot of times people just see the, or people normally just see the end result.
Yeah.
So like they see the Instagram mm-hmm. or the Facebook.
They don't see
side
the failures or the challenges that you've gone through.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure you've had, everybody has had them. So can you share a couple, maybe, struggles along the way that you've learned from, that you've done differently, or maybe you would done the same, but you just had to go through that.
That's a good point. And everybody kind of sees the end product, but it's been, 8 years of deal after deal. And I think I've been in escrow on a property to buy nonstop for the last 8 years. Right. So I've been under contract constantly, which sounds crazy, but it's just, I'm in one and then we're going to refi the next one. And then it just kind of perpetuates itself. So, it's like if you look at a bodybuilder in the gym, I certainly don't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he didn't, by eating cheeseburgers and just chilling on the beach all day. So it was a lot of repetitions, single family deal here, a refi there. Mm-hmm. I was lucky. I kind of started in multifamily right at the same time. And I really just wanted to try different avenues so that I would be a better property manager. It was really every deal was about educating myself. How can I talk to this next client and be a little more educated? If they're buying a duplex in a less desirable part of town, if I say, hey, I just bought two single family homes in that neighborhood, last year and they're doing great, like you should go through with it. Or, if they're looking at class A stuff, they just trust you more if you say, oh yeah, I did something similar. So that was my goal, was really education. And it was just deal after deal. Each one got a little bigger and a little more complex. And that's also what I've enjoyed about it, is that each one has its own unique challenges, and you really feel accomplished once you get to closing and they knock one of these deals out.
Nice. So we have a lot of obviously new investors just maybe starting out. What advice would you give to a new investor starting out, whether it's multifamily, single family, maybe syndication, maybe they want to get into syndication deals? What advice would you give them?
I would say start as soon as you can and find a partner. It's just, I can't reiterate that enough. I think I've got it over 60 different people that I've invested with real estate with. And that's really what keeps me going. It's employees, it's some vendors even, clients. It's how can I provide value for them? They've invested cash with me. How can I help them learn and grow their portfolio? So my advice would be just to start as soon as you can and find a partner or somebody that's going to, help hold you accountable and provide those skills that you don't have, whether it's, cash or a loan sponsor or, property management expertise, or even debt underwriting. I mean, there's so many different skill sets that come into real estate. So find somebody that can help you along the way.
Yeah. Every successful entrepreneur investor that's been on this show has said that, right?
Yeah.
Find a coach, mentor, partner, somebody that can help hold you accountable. Yeah.
And so let's just talk about that real quick. You have a great event coming up that I'll be personally attending. So can you talk to us about it, what you're going to go over, maybe mention the website. We'll put it in the show notes, but just talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, Sean. It's called the Syndication Summit. We're hosting it in Richmond, May 18th, 19th, and 20th. The website is pmsyndicationsummit.com. And it's really a way for property managers to learn commercial real estate 301. And that's what syndications really are. It's kind of graduate level classes. If you think of, buying a single family rental is real estate 101. We're helping property managers, recognize the value of their role in the real estate business and then find ways that they can partner with clients, raise capital and do their own deals. So, at the end of the day, you guys understand, you drink the Kool-Aid, you invest in real estate, but there's a lot of successful property managers out there that just don't take advantage. Because again, we've got the inside scoop on a lot of great deals, and we're trying to give them the expertise and knowledge on how to do that. So there'll be property managers, investors. Neighborly is our title sponsor, so excited to have them on board. It should be a great 2.5 days of learning, and we'll do some site visits and have some fun along the way. We're going to tour a 42-unit building that we have under construction. We're doing a tax credit project, and we'll go see that and some of our other deals and maybe do a happy hour or a group dinner. So it should be fun.
Yeah, well, we're definitely excited about this event and to learn more about syndications. And
I think you only have a limited amount of spots open. So, again, we'll put it in the show notes. But if you're interested in that event, please check it out. And if you're interested in attending, please sign up right away, because I think spots are limited. So I'm going to put you on the spot. And so tell me, because you have a lot of experience, and I'm just curious, and I always ask this. So, and I'm not asking you to, you don't have a crystal ball, but where do you think the real estate market's headed?
Great question. And I know that's going to come up in May. obviously, just another rate increase announced today. I don't see it slowing down. And the commercial brokers I've talked to, at least in Richmond, feel the same way. I think cap rates are still going to continue to compress. But we've got, good rent growth. I think that's going to offset some of this interest rate spikes we're seeing. Mm-hmm. But I think if anything, prices will flatten out a little bit, but I don't see them coming down anytime soon. There's just too much demand out there. Our average in Richmond, I was just looking at it for rentals, our average days on market this year is 8 days on market. And that's for single family, multifamily. So at least in Virginia, it continues to be hot market. We've got a lot of migration into our state, population growth, so that's going to continue to put upward pricing pressure. So at least in our submarket, it still looks pretty rosy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we're kind of on the same page there. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I appreciate you sharing that. So what we always ask our guests, what's your next? I mean, you're, like you said, you're under contract all the time, at least at some point.
Or so maybe some of your goals for the next 5 years. Yeah. It's been awesome to see your success over the years. It's what are some of your goals?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I've got a couple targets in mind in terms of number of partnerships and properties that we want to acquire. I think the next step, we're going to be looking at raising a blind fund. So what that means, typically we'll find a deal, we'll get it under contract, and then we'll go to our investor base and say, hey, would you like to invest in this one, 18, 20 unit property in Richmond? They say, great, here's my check. By doing a blind fund, we can better support our investors and spread that risk. So let's say we raise $5 million and say, we're going to invest in these kinds of assets. You're going to have a piece of all of that. It's going to smooth out the return. So it's not so property specific, because you can have a roof leak or a big HVAC repair or something that can kind of, kill returns at one property. But if you've got a blind fund where you're investing client capital across multiple deals, then you're going to mitigate some of that risk. So that's kind of our next step.
Nice.
I'll be working on that this summer. But my wife probably doesn't want to hear that. She wants me to slow down a little bit.
I was going to ask that, because I was like, man, I wonder what his wife thinks about being under contract all the time. She's probably like, Ralph, take a break, let's enjoy it, right?
Hey, we understand where you're coming from, though.
It's really funny, when I started, if I had a duplex under contract, I was so excited about it. I'd come home and chat her ear off, and, I just closed a $4 million property. It was 20 units. It took 90 days, and she was like, okay, wasn't even listening to the press. It's kind of water under the bridge for her now, but she's been a great partner and supported me along the way. And I'd like to give her a shout out. She was just voted the Teacher of the Year.
At wow. Her high school. Very cool.
Psychology professor, teaches high school students. So proud of Taylor. And we're coming up on our anniversary this month.
Awesome.
Well, Taylor, congratulations.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I think you hit it right there, the support. I mean, I think that you guys would definitely, you wouldn't be here without the support, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a great point there, Ralph.
Yeah. Any books you're currently reading that you would recommend?
I'll be honest, I don't read that many books. I am a voracious podcast consumer. I can't mow the lawn or drive the car without putting on a podcast. So anything real estate related, I listen to you guys and love Jordan Whalen, what he's doing with Profitable Property Manager. And that's kind of my jam these days.
Awesome.
So last question. So how can they get involved with you if they want to reach out to you about your syndication deal, conference coming up? How can they get a hold of you?
Or they got property in Richmond.
Yep.
And some of the other markets, right? You're in two or one other market?
I think. So
we've got another office out in Stanton, Virginia, which is in the western side of the states in the Blue Ridge Mountains. But you can find me on LinkedIn, Ralph Reard, or Syndication Summit. We've got a page up there on Facebook and LinkedIn. And visit the website, pmsyndicationsummit.com.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Well, we appreciate you being here today and taking the time. I know you've got a lot going on. So if there's anything we can ever do for you, please let us know. But thanks again. There was a ton of value. And again, if you guys are interested in that syndication event, like you said, I think there's a lot of opportunity, especially the property managers.
Yeah, it's like, and I think that's been the hot topic, you know, lately, yeah, is syndication. So, and I know myself, I don't know much about it, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and I mean, you manage property on a day-to-day basis. You're doing it for clients. Why aren't you doing
right.
it for yourself?
Yeah, so absolutely.
That was key. So, well, I appreciate it, Ralph. Again, if you like this show, please share it. We depend on you to share the show and spread the word. Please like it, because obviously the higher the ratings, the more it gets spread. So thanks again, and we'll see you all next week.
See you, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.